Filled with teaching, truths and issues that matter, Bernie Diamond's A Different Perspective, part of Night Vision each weeknight. Details at vision.org.au. Life, culture and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 with Neil Johnson on Vision.
Things are changing so fast, and every week it appears there is another Christian value around life and morality seemingly lost, while the opponents of Christianity seem to be able to land blows at will. We're asking an important question today. Is there still a prophetic ministry? Well, our special guest today says we have church leaders who are often more political than prophetic. Some might even say they're not even political enough. Well, they either reflect the political concerns of the day on every side, or they just engage in a culture war which uses but is not founded upon biblical Christianity. David Robertson is our special guest through this next hour. He's director of the Ask Project with Sydney Anglicans, and it's about evangelism and new churches, and we'll talk about how you can connect with David a little later. David originates from Scotland, and he writes for newspapers, magazines, and is the author of a number of books, including The Dawkins Letters and Engaging with Atheists. David Robertson, a special welcome back to 2020.
It's a joy to be with you, and a joy to be on 2020 and 2022. We live, I think, you know, if you think about the past 2 years, how many of us would have foreseen the chaos that has erupted in this world? You know, it's just extraordinary, isn't it?
It is extraordinary. It's meant hardship for so many. And we might be able to celebrate ways that the church has been involved in helping people navigate that hardship. We might also argue that under the cover of what's happened with the hardship around COVID, a whole lot of things have gone out of control and spiraled out of control, especially when it comes to legislation around issues of morality that Christians hold so dearly. So there's been a lot of things that have happened over this past 2 years. If we were going to just get our conversation underway, David, I wonder if we might start with a biblical foundation for what we'll talk about today, because I've got an idea where we're going with this. But when we use that word prophet, we've got all sorts of images of the prophets of the Old Testament. We wonder where those sorts of great heroes of faith are in the New Testament, and then we might say, where are those prophets today in the 21st century? I wonder if we can start with a biblical foundation. How do you see prophets, David?
Well, prophets were people who brought the word of God to the people of God. And I do think there's a fundamental distinction. I think in the Old Testament, you had prophets, you know, like Elijah, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, who were communicating God's word direct to the people, and you had the nation state of Israel and so on. I think in the New Testament is different. I think the prophets brought the word of God, and I think in the New Testament, we're told in Ephesians that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But I think the prophets today are not people who are bringing us a new Bible, if you like. They're not adding to the scriptures. But I think what they are doing, I think some, there are two extremes here. There are people, I think, who argue, well, actually, God is giving me a completely new revelation. And then there are other people who say, well, no, God has given us the revelation, and all we have to do is basically lecture it. My understanding of prophecy is that it is still the application of the word of God to the society. And I think that that's what we are called to do. I think prophecy also involved, it wasn't just foretelling the future. It was also bringing God's word to apply in the present. And I think that, you know, there are a couple of verses that stand in my mind. One is in Chronicles where it says, the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what to do. And then Jesus saying, well, you look at the sky and you see what the weather is going to be. How come you can't observe the signs of what's going on in society and see what's happening? And I think that's a key aspect of prophecy. And maybe the one other thing I would say is this. Prophets are often incredibly countercultural and have to be bold. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but it's I think in our society today, and I'm talking about Australian society today, even though I'm a Scotsman. I think it's you had a guest on before, Martin Isles. I think he does reflect that aspect of prophetic ministry, bringing the word of God to apply to the society. And I think we're going to need a lot more of that.
Sometimes, and I'll just reflect on what I've picked up over many years, the thought that the New Testament prophet is different to the Old Testament prophet, with the understanding that the New Testament prophet spoke for edification and exhortation and comfort. Not the forth-telling prophet of the Old Testament who really, took it up to kings and rulers. Any thoughts here on whether those issues that we might observe in the Old Testament prophet can be carried over into the New Testament thought or understanding of a prophet, David?
I think they can, but I think you have to be aware of a different context. So, in the Old Testament prophets, we're speaking to the nation state of Israel, the people of God. And yes, there was a ripple, an effect beyond that, if you like. So you get someone like Jonah going to Nineveh. I think in the New Testament, you did get like the prophet Agabus predicting there would be a famine. But I think what I would call the prophetic word, I would say that this God's word is living and it applies today. You could argue that John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, even though he's in the New, and he was the one who stood before Herod and, you know, accused him of adultery and was executed for it. But I also think I think you've got things like, if you regard, and I do, the writings of the book of James or Paul's letters and so on, that there's a prophetic aspect there. So James, for example, laments the way that the rich people weren't paying fair wages. And I think the book of Revelation is a kind of prophetic thing against the Roman Empire and many other things that were happening at that time. But I do think the context is different. So, you know, we don't stand, you won't get someone standing before the Australian Parliament and saying, this is what God tells you to do. But I do think that the church needs to speak the word of God into the context of the culture. And there are some people who have a particular gift with that. So I've just been reading again, the wonderful Francis Schaeffer. And I think Schaeffer was 50 years ahead of his time. He more or less saw what was going to happen, what is happening now. Someone like C.S. Lewis, I think he did have a prophetic ministry as well. So, you know, I do think there is that kind of role. I question, in fact, I don't believe that there is someone who can stand up and say, well, I'm now going to give you the first letter to the Melbourneites or whatever, and this is now going to be added to the Bible. We don't have that anymore. The church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we're not relaying the foundation.
There's a sense, isn't there, the Old Testament prophet was a part of the formation of a nation, the children of God, the people of Israel, and there was an application of the word of the Lord. There's a sense, isn't there, that if a New Testament prophet is the one who brings the word of the Lord, application of the word of the Lord, then there is certainly something in not just in the church, but in the formation of a nation. Any thoughts here about the prophet going beyond the four walls of the church?
Well, I think so as well, because I think one of the great concerns that many of us have is that the Western world, liberal democracies, are turning away from their Christian foundations. And people will say, well, what does that matter? Well, it matters a lot. Not so much for the church. It matters for the society as a whole. And so I think that a society in which Christianity is the foundation is much better for the poor. It's much better for the weak. It's much better for women, to be honest. And I think that there is a tendency amongst Christians, because we've got so much opposition and because we're so now counter-cultural to much of our culture, there is a tendency amongst some Christians to say, well, let's just retreat into our kind of, you know, almost like our monasteries and, let's just ride this out. My view would be, no, we still need to speak God's word into the culture. And that is for the good of the culture. We are to be salt and light in the world. Now, as I say, I don't think that is directly equivalent to the Old Testament prophets. And incidentally, I don't really think it's directly equivalent to the New Testament church prophets, because the thing about the New Testament church was it didn't have the New Testament. You know, the Gospels were written several decades into the church, and Paul's letters and so on. So it wasn't until the apostles, the last of the apostles, when John died, that we had the full New Testament. So I do think there is a difference, but I still think there is a prophetic role for the church and for some leaders. And what you were suggesting there, that also involves speaking God's truth, not just to the church, but also to the wider society. So I would argue, for example, William Wilberforce, as regards slavery, he was speaking God's word into a culture that had permitted and promoted slavery. And I would say that people today who are speaking, for example, about abortion, that they are speaking God's word into a culture which is promoting something that is profoundly wrong. And there are many other things along those lines.
This is 2020 with Neil Johnson, helping you make sense of life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Our special guest this hour is David Robertson. He's director of the ASK Project with Sydney Anglicans, talking evangelism and new churches with his role there. But a focus today on prophets. And, you know, you've read about the Old Testament prophets. You've known that there is a prophetic voice in the New Testament as the church built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Well, we're talking about a new generation of prophetic preachers today. You might have your own insights. Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. We'll take some calls in just a few moments. Before we do, though, David, the thought that there is such pressure that a nation is under, that there are forces that want to build it with a Christian strong foundation built on God's word, and there are forces that are trying to build their own utopian society, but takes you away from those forces, and in fact, we'll know, leads to all sorts of disaster. A country being destroyed. Is there now a time for prophets to arise when we recognize that things go so much astray?
Yeah, I think that there is a danger involved here for those of us who are Christians. So I would argue that as the foundations of Australian society are being undermined and even destroyed, that there's a temptation for Christians to just be incredibly negative about that. And yet, one of the things that we need to grasp more and more is that we are also here to bring hope. So I wrote an article in which I cited Lord Hailsham. Our country is being destroyed before our eyes by a conspiracy of intellectuals without faith, delinquents without honour, muckrakers without charity or compassion, young men who are incapable of dreaming dreams, and old men who've never known what it is to see visions. And I think that what we need is, within the church, people who are able to give people a real hope, based on a broader understanding. So I talk about bold, courageous, compassionate men and women who understand the Bible, grasp the culture, and know how to connect the dots. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at in terms of a prophetic role. It's explaining the context of the culture we're in. We don't necessarily, in fact, we don't have all the answers to every single situation. The more you look at a particular situation, say even, for example, like Ukraine, you realize how complex and difficult it is to solve. And yet, we're coming in as Christians who have the truth of God and the truth of God as given to us in Jesus Christ. And I just think that is, it's really important, and it really can bring hope to so many people.
We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. You might have your own contribution to make to our conversation today. Let's take some calls. Mike is on the line from Launceston in Tasmania. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. 1 Corinthians says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And then Revelation says, "You must. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So comment on that, please.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks. Mike, by the way, I understand that your town or your city is about to be voted Australia's, or has been voted Australia's best. And having visited there recently, I thought it was a wonderful place. I think that 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about people who were speaking in tongues and people not being able to understand them. And he was saying, well, we need to be able to get the word of God so that people understand. And so he gives instructions on that in that context in Corinth. But I think the basic principle still remains right, that we want the spirit of prophecy. In other words, God's word is living and it needs to be applied into the context and the culture of today. Now, you don't change God's word to do that. I think because God's word is living, it does do that. I think in Revelation, it's very much a similar thing. I remember one time a man who'd never, ever been in church. This was when I was back in Scotland. He came out and he said a couple of things which are really interesting. He said, first of all, "Man, you did that deliberately." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've never listened to anyone for more than 5 minutes before, and you gave, because I don't come to church, you gave us a whole year's worth of sermons in one go." And I said, no, I normally do speak for about 40 minutes. And I said, "Well, what's the other thing that intrigued you? He says, "I didn't know there was so much in the Bible." He said, "It's incredible, and it's incredible how it applies." And I think that is what the prophetic word is, that people are convicted by the word of God and realize, wait a minute, this is God speaking into our culture. So I think both those passages refer that. We need the more direct application of the word of God into the context and culture in which we live.
Mike in Launceston, thank you so much for your call. Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. Let's take another call. Kim, another Tasmanian in Hobart. Hello, Kim. Welcome.
Yeah, you've opened up the north-south rivalry now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, Kim.
All right. Give us your best shot, Hobart, from the south.
Hobart's got to be the pretty city underneath the mountain on the river, but we won't get into that one. We love Tassie, all of us. Look, I was just interested that, I think prophecy is used, I might say loosely. I see prophecy as the way we got our New Testament. You know, the apostles and prophets are in the foundation. We're now up near the roof, I would have thought. So it speaks, you know, the two of them are linked together three times in Ephesians. You know, first of all, apostles, then prophets, and then it says evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Same in 1 Corinthians 12, when the listening of the gifts is given. And obviously, when the New Testament was written, there was no New Testament. And so they needed the prophets to give them the Word of God because they had no New Testament. They had their Old Testament. It seems to me there's a passing of the guard in that. Peter talks about there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. I think it's more the application of the word today. My particular bent is as a Bible teacher, and that's probably how it's coming across. But I don't see prophets in the true sense as existing today. I don't say they don't exist, but we have no need to add to the scriptures. They're already there, and it's just applying what we have.
Kim, you make some great thoughts there. Response from David.
Yeah, Kim, I mean, I think that was what I was kind of saying earlier. I really do not believe that we have these foundational prophets, as in the sense of people writing the New Testament, for example, or adding to the New Testament. So I think that you're correct. However, I also, I'm a little bit wary of just saying it's just teaching, because I'm asking, is there a prophetic ministry today? Is there any word from the Lord? And I agree that we don't need to relay the church's foundation of the apostles and prophets. But I don't agree that there's no place for the prophetic within the church and to the society. So I argue in the article that I wrote that the application of biblical principles by such as the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, is directly relevant to today. So I think there's this wonderful thing. John Stott used to talk about having one foot in the Bible and one foot in the newspaper. And he wasn't saying they were equal, but he was saying you've got to be able to apply the word of God to the culture in which you live today. And I do think that's important. And I think some people have a better grasp of that. And I'll tell you where I'm coming from as well. I'm really a bit surprised at this. I find some of the people who are the best analysts of where our culture are today are not Christians. So there are people like Jordan Peterson, who seems to be on his way, or Douglas Murray or others. And I'm just wondering if we in the church have so backed off from that that we've either ended up with some very eccentric people who nobody listens to, except for entertainment value, or we've just gone very quiet. And I do hear the Lord's people hearing a lot, is there any word from the Lord? And I think it is, but I don't think it's an addition to the Bible. I think it's the application of the Bible to today's society.
Kim, thank you so much for your call. Our talkback line open, 1-800-316-316. We'll continue this conversation after the news. Just a minute and a half or so out from the news. There's a thought here. David, I run this by you. We can talk about a gift of prophecy that happens within the church, and we might even separate that from what we think the office of a prophet may be, and that may be far more beyond the walls of a church. Any thoughts here? Because a lot of people will prophesy, but few will have that office holder type of character that the prophet has.
Yeah, I think I don't get too caught up with the office of prophet, except I would say this. You know, the Puritans and others used to talk about prophesying basically, and what they meant was preaching. And I don't think I'm not going to. You know, there are different Christians who have different views about whether you still have apostles and prophets. And my own personal view is not in the New Testament sense of the foundational. But I still do think that there is a prophetic role. And it may even be that there are some people, as I mentioned, like Schaefer and others, who I think someone like Tim Keller, for example, in New York.
David, good to be able to talk about a topic like this, and it can, in fact, be a little bit divisive when you start to talk about prophecy, because it somehow does depend on the sort of church background that you have. And for some people in some mainline churches, they've worked these things out well and truly generations ago. Others still working through these sorts of things. So it's good to be able to talk about these things in conversation. What are your thoughts about the differences that some Christians will have on the role of a prophet?
Well, I'm conscious that, you know, that Vision Radio is ecumenical in the sense of you have, you know, believers from different backgrounds. And there will be people who, you know, have different views on this. What I'm particularly interested in is how we apply the Word of God prophetically into the culture that we face today. And I think that's really important. So, you know, there's maybe a couple of stories that might help. I was asked back in the UK to go and speak to a group of churches called New Frontiers, which is a charismatic group, but somewhat unusually reformed. And they're very, very good at church planting, do a lot of different stuff. And I was asked to go and speak with their leaders. And if I remember the time, it was about 20 of their main leaders, including Terry Virgo. And they were going around, and I loved being with them. And they were giving various testimony about why they were there. And it came to me and I said, well, I don't know why I'm here because I'm not charismatic and so on. And they started laughing. And I said, why are you laughing? And they said, well, David, we think you're like a prophet because you do apply the word of God to the culture in which we live. And we need to hear that. And one of them said something very interesting, that prophecy has come to be understood in their circles with a lot of people as being very personal, individual. You know, it's as though God saying, you know, who should you marry? Lo, you're going to marry this person, or sometimes very general, just repeating bits of Isaiah as a kind of personal comfort. Whereas I think both the Old Testament prophets and to some degree the New Testament, not to the same degree, but there was this, you know, is there a word from the Lord? That's the one I keep going from. You know, what does God say about this situation? What does God say about this whole transgender stuff? What does God say about Ukraine? What's, you know, and I think without going into, I don't think we are called to make specific political points and say this is from God. I think that's a big mistake. But I think it's when we apply biblical principles that then people themselves can see where it's going. So I think that's that's a really important part of it. And that's what I was trying to get at. I was trying to get to say, God's word is relevant for today. I mean, I have another kind of mantra that I use. I say that we don't need to make the Bible relevant. It is relevant. It takes a special skill to make it irrelevant, but that's a skill that many of us in the church have developed. I just think the Bible is directly relevant to today.
Wonderful.
Amazingly so.
We're taking calls, 1-800-316-316, to join in our conversation. You might have a question, a comment, even a critique for our conversation. You're welcome, 1-800-316-316. Let's take a call. Wendy is in Casino in New South Wales. Hi, Wendy. Welcome along.
Thank you so much, Neil. Welcome. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you've got to say, David. It's been really excellent so far. What I'm wanting is that I'm back in May 1999, when I'd been a Christian about 20 years, I had a prophecy that I was going to begin to write poetry that would be read throughout the world that would express the heart of God to man. Now, I was excited because I had always loved poetry but never written a poem, and I was an English teacher at the time, so I'd always have loved poems. And since that time, I have begun to write poetry, which I don't believe has been my own gift. I believe it was a gift that was given to me, and consequently, it's a prophetic gift. And I write poems now generally about what God is like, or what's happening at the moment in the world, and I write them within an hour, and I usually do it very early in the morning. And it's not the sort of thing that I could just summon up. In fact, I've got a poetry book just about to come out this very week, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with people now, because for a long time I just thought, oh, these are nice poems, but I've begun to see myself now as a prophetic poet. Now, I don't know how many others there are around with the same gift, but I know that mine definitely came from God, because I didn't really have it there beforehand.
Wendy, good insights there, and we'll be talking about some of the things that you're writing coming up on 2020 just in this next week or two. But just come back to this thought here that there might be a prophecy that is released. The gifts in the church. This is maybe a preliminary, because we might be talking about mature prophecy and where the prophet has a role in releasing those gifts in the church. I wonder, a thought or two here from you, David, for Wendy.
Well, Wendy, what you're saying is really interesting. I do believe that God motivates and inspires. Now, I would suggest, for example, that in terms of poetry, the Book of Job, the Psalms, of course, the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, they are poetic. And I think the poetic is a great way to communicate. What I would say is, you know, I would read your poems. I wouldn't put them on a par with that as direct inspiration, but I do believe that God can inspire and motivate people. And I do think, despite what I said earlier, that individually, you know, God can say things. So I remember when I went in for the ministry, I mean, we were in the Christian Brethren who didn't have kind of believe in direct prophets like that. But I remember when I went in for the ministry, I said to my dad that I was, you know, going to be in full-time ministry and so on. And he said, oh, I knew that. And I said, how did you know? And he told me that when we were 8 years old, we were moving from the area we were in England. And this man stood up who I have no recollection of at all, called Mr. Brown, and said, I pray for David and I'm going to pray for him every single day because he believed he'd been told that I was going to end up going into the ministry. My dad took that as great comfort even when I was rebelling. So I do think that God can inspire and motivate in that way. I would say, as with all prophecies, they are to be tested, and, you know, tested according to the word of God, which I think is important. But I'll come back to the poetry thing. I think poetry is a great way to communicate the word of God.
Wendy, thank you so much for your call. Our talkback line open, 1-800-316-316. Let's take another call. Graham is in Burnie, Tasmania. Hello, Graham.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, Paul the Apostle prophesied about men not being allowed to be married in the church. And Paul again preached in the Second Thessalonians about a man of sin, about the time that would be stories or seeing, should say, visions of Christ, talking about Christ coming back to earth before these things could happen. He says that Christ is not going to come back before such and such, and that is a man of sin be revealed. And, of course, the falling away. Today you've already preached about what the wickedness of mankind, about the children being actually Satan's in the church, he's in the government. And what we're seeing now is these things happening.
Graham, you're raising some good points in there, and something that we haven't touched on is the thought that those prophets that have spoken in the past and have written down visions like John in the book of Revelation. I mean, these things that we might look to the future and say these things are coming to pass. There's a certain sense in which this powerful forward-looking of the prophet really is significant as things begin to unfold, and particularly for some who will be looking at those issues around end times. Thoughts here, David, for some of the things Graham's raising?
Well, Graham raises the important issue, particularly from 2 Thessalonians, where it's very interesting that Paul says, concerning this, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. So Paul was deeply aware that there were false prophecies around and that they would continue. And Jesus himself warned us that there would be, you know, if it were possible, to deceive even the elect. So we have to be extremely careful about those who come and say, well, the Lord has told me this, the Lord has told me that. And I do think that the comments about the man of sin are relevant. I tend to think that, you know, Antichrist, as some Christians argue, is one specific figure. I think there have been many Antichrists, as John says. But we do, we come back to judging everything by the word of God. And I think that is, yeah, I think that's something that is really important, but we do have to watch out for false prophets. I'm reminded of, I mean, I've experienced this many times where people have come and said they've had a personal word from the Lord and then tried to apply it to me. And I can think of a couple of instances, one in particular where a young man came to me and he was really upset and said he didn't know whether to trust God anymore. And I said, why? And he said, well, God had told him he was going to marry this girl. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, she just got married to someone else. And I said, but he said, well, why did God lie? I said, well, God didn't lie. God didn't tell you that. You know, whoever told you or the impression that you got was wrong. And we need to, that's why we have the word of God. The word of God is certain. All the words of the prophets, we need to judge very carefully. And I think that's why my understanding of prophecy is more the application of the word of God, as in the Bible, to the culture that we live in, rather than to fresh revelations, which must always be tested. One other story that I quite like, it was the Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This man came to him and said, Mr. Spurgeon, God has told me that I have to preach in your church on Sunday. And Spurgeon, who was always sharp as a tack, said, well, when he tells me, I'll let you. You know, and that's, it's always, when someone comes up to you and says, God has told me, it's very hard to discuss with them because, well, who's going to go against what God has said? Or you're suggesting that they're mistaken or a liar. So there are lots of pitfalls here to be avoided. And, you know, I'm wary of using the term prophetic, but I do think in terms of applying the word of God to the culture and circumstances we find ourselves in today is something that is essential.
Graham in Burnie, thank you so much for your call. 1-800-316-316 to join in our conversation today. Let's take another call. Errol is in Slacks Creek in Queensland. Hi, Errol. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Neil?
Good, Errol. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are, look, I've been born again for 40-odd years, but I believe in the spirit that as people go to the congregation and hear the worship of God and things like that, I myself...
I think Errol has dropped out, and before we could pick up on an element of that, that what he was trying to share. Hey, let me bring us back to, I think, where the essence of our conversation is intended to go today, David, because we've gotten off on a few little tangents and things. Let's come back to the fact that there is a spiralling out of control, a civilization in decline, and where are the prophets? And you can talk about all sorts of dimensions around prophecy, whether it's a foretelling prophecy about the end times, or whether it's the prophecy that happens in the car park that you might be really concerned about at your local church. Then there might be those who might be designated to be a prophetic voice, perhaps in the church. But let's come back to what we've begun to talk about in the early parts of our conversation, the prophet that speaks into the nation. And you mentioned a little earlier some of those identities that so many might be familiar with, Doug Murray or Jordan Peterson. And Jordan Peterson really only relatively recently describing the way he has come to faith in Christ. Some of these other identities that we might think are speaking into the culture, not coming from a Christian foundation at all. So does that disqualify them from being what we would call a prophet, because they're not speaking with that transcendent voice of God? Let's come back to what we began to talk about, the absence of prophets in our society today. Thoughts here, David?
Yeah, I don't think that, say, someone like Douglas Murray is a prophet. I think what you find with all these people, and I include Peterson in this, is that they're very good at analysing the difficulties and showing us the difficulties. They're very good at that. But they don't have the solutions because they don't have Christ. And I do think that... My struggle is, so I mean, I can think of people today, Christian leaders today, who have been very good at that. So there's one who's just died, sadly, that's Melvin Tinker, who's an Anglican in England, who is, some of his writings have been marvellous. Or I think of someone here in Australia, like Steve McAlpine over in Perth, who wrote a book called Being the Bad Guys, which is just an excellent analysis of how we live in a society which is increasingly hostile to us. So I do think that there are people who are speaking God's word to the church about the culture. Where I'm struggling a little bit is, how do we get to speak into the culture? It's very difficult if the culture won't give you a voice. I remember a BBC producer saying to me, David, I'd love to have you on my show. My problem is that we don't do diversity, and yet I think you speak for about half the people in this country. And I do wonder where we're going to get Christians, politicians, church leaders who speak up, applying the word of God into the culture we're in. And that's at the macro, that's at the big level. But at the micro level, I feel that in our congregations, I don't want... preachers to be doing politics, but I do want preachers to be explaining how the word of God applies in the culture in which we now are. And I think that is missing in a lot of contexts. And a lot of what I do in terms of helping people with evangelism is try and help people to understand who we are evangelizing and the culture, or cultures really, that we are working with.
So the preacher in the pulpit, not there to be partisan political, but when we hear of a preacher who might well identify the problems of the community or the broader culture, able to offer a biblical insight, which therefore may well be a solution to those who hear. This is the sort of preacher that you might be looking for, someone who isn't saying, thus says the Lord, and then giving their own partisan political diatribe. The thought that you might have a preacher who can apply the word of God. This would be the essence, I guess, of what you're getting at when you're saying what we need is prophetic preachers who can apply the word of God.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I'd put it is this. If I was to go to China, which I'd love to do, and seek to communicate the gospel to people who speak Chinese, and I seek to communicate in English, it's going to be very, very, very difficult. And I feel that much of what we're doing is, Schaeffer saw this, I say prophetically, brilliantly. He said there'll come a time when Christian parents won't understand their children because their children are swimming in a different culture. And I think one of the things that we need to grasp is to be able to explain the culture. So a few years ago when I was back in Scotland, I don't normally do thematic preaching. I normally preach through a book of the Bible. But because of so many questions I've been asked, I said that one evening I was going to do a sermon on male and female identity, particularly dealing with the transgender issue. And I was utterly astonished to see that my congregation doubled. And a lot of people who came were not Christians because they were wanting to hear, what does God say about this? Because it's so confusing. And I feel that, you know, there are dangers in this, but my view is that we need to a radically different approach, which is to not make the Bible relevant to the culture. I think what an awful lot of us do is we read the Bible through the glasses, the spectacles of our own culture. And I think instead we need to read the culture through the glasses of the Bible. And for that, we really need to know our Bibles well, but we also need to know our culture well. And again, as I say, even in terms of evangelism, a huge amount of evangelism is listening to people, trying to understand where they're coming from. Again, prophetic preachers will really help the Lord's people. They will give the Lord's people confidence. Wait a minute, God's word really does connect with our culture. It really does have something to say. So it's not just kind of like moaning, oh, aren't things terrible? And it's not just kind of visionary madness in the sense of saying, well, revival's just around the corner, everything's going to be okay. It's just simply saying, this is God's word for our culture today. And that's thrilling when you get that.
Can we say, is there a simple way of saying, is there a word from the Lord? Choose a topic, choose one of the issues, and then not expect there to be an easy word, but to actually reflect what you glean from the scriptures as a response of God to the circumstance around which you're speaking into in your community or indeed into the culture of the nation. Responding to that question, is there a word from the Lord? And let's see what happens. Is that one way of saying you could do this practically in your local church? You could just wait and get a word from the Lord on those issues?
Yeah, I think so. And I think but sometimes we have to say, actually, some of these things, we don't know what's happening. So it's very interesting. I've been doing this mini-series called Coffee with Job, which is just like 5 minutes every day on YouTube. And I'm astonished at how many Christians have contacted me just simply to say, that was God's word for me in the circumstances that I'm facing. And I think it's also God's word in terms of our own. So there are some things we don't know the answer to. It's not like we plug in a prayer and automatically it comes out. But we can be assured that God's word applies to every situation. So I do a little bit of what you suggest. I'd say to people, okay, choose a subject. And then let's think about this from a Christian perspective. And it's amazing just how the Bible applies. I remember one guy just simply saying, I can't believe that the Bible addresses all this, but you weren't making it up. It really does. And I think, therefore, that's the same kind of thing. Now, sometimes it will require enormous courage, you know, because you're going against the idols of our culture and our society, and that does require courage. But sometimes that's what we're called to. But we're also called to be, you know, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Or I was just reading in Luke 20 about Jesus. They asked him about tax, and they were trying to catch him out, and they weren't able to find anything to accuse him of, but with his answer. And sometimes we need to be like that as well. So it applies in lots and lots of different circumstances. But the key question, and this is for your listeners, is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is, absolutely.
David Robertson, wonderful getting your insights as always. Let me point listeners to theweflea.com, W-E-E-F-L-E-A, the weflee.com. And David, just very quickly, your work with the ASK project, working with evangelism and new churches through Sydney Anglicans, you know, you're happy for people to be connecting with you, and there might be people in Anglican churches or other churches far and wide. They can connect with you. Where's the best place for them to check in with you personally?
Of course. I mean, well, I have the weflee@gmail.com is my email address. I also have one for ASK, you know, ask.david@newchurches.org.au. But I do stress this. I mean, I'm here. I'm a Scottish Presbyterian. I'm working with Sydney Anglicans. I've been down in Tasmania, so it was nice to have so many callers from Tasmania today, because it's the most gorgeous part of Australia, because it's the bit that's most like Scotland. But I Brisbane, and I've been everywhere except Perth. I'm not sure that Perth really exists, but now that the borders are lifted, you know, and I work with people of different churches, different backgrounds. My aim is just very, very simple. I just want to encourage Christians to reach out with the good news of the gospel, because it's what our society desperately needs, and we've got it. You know, we're like, I think my favorite analogy is that we are like the starving person who's found bread or a feast, and we've got to communicate that to lots of other starving people. And I love doing that. I work with churches because I believe that the church, the local church, is the embodiment of Christ, and it's just a great way to bring the gospel. It takes a church to bring the gospel to people. I would say that, and that's why I love working with churches and encouraging churches to think about the outsider and, you know, to reach out and not to be afraid.
So. Well, David, just wonderful getting your insights, and special honour to you. You do have a beautiful way of communicating, and we know we've got you in Australia for at least another couple of years. And for listeners and leaders to connect with you, they will no doubt want to do that. TheWeFlee.com, there was a ask.david@newchurches.com.au to be in touch with David personally through the ASK project, working with evangelism in new churches. David, thanks so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and your heart with us today on 2020.
You know, God bless you. Thank you. By the way, it's .org.au for the new churches one. But, you know, thank you so much, Neil. Christian radio is so important in encouraging the Lord's people. And I would say, look, all of us who are believers, whatever the denomination, we have to work together in this time of crisis and also this time of great opportunity. So God bless you.
And God bless you, David Robertson.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.